Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. At the age of 50, Jeff Schmidt wasn't looking for a breakthrough as a professional golfer, but he got one. He recently earned his way into 2 major PGA tournaments. He competed in the PGA Championship on the Bethpage Black Course in Farmingdale, New York, and the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship in Rochester, New York. Schmidt grew up in Cedar Rapids for the most part. He played golf for the University of Iowa from 1987 to 1990. He pursued a competitive professional career for quite a while, but these days he's the golf pro at Brown Deer Golf Club in Coralville, and he's been pretty comfortable with his role as teacher in recent years. Jeff is with me now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for being here today. And first of all, I would love to hear a little bit about what it's like to pursue a career as a professional golfer. I think a lot of us hear about the most famous golfers, but if we don't follow the tour, we don't really know how it works. So after college, as you were trying to pursue that professional career, how did you do that?
It's kind of interesting because unlike other sports, you can pretty much, anyone can just like say I'm a professional golfer, and there are a huge minor league system of golf tournaments all over the world, all at different levels, and you kind of can just sign up and spend your money and see how you do. It's basically kind of like legalized gambling almost. Honestly, it's really, you're playing for your own money. You're actually playing for less than it because someone who's running the tournament is actually going to make more money than you do. So. But yeah, that's basically it. So when I got done with college, my sister luckily lived in Southern California. So I moved out there with her, found a job at a golf club, basically cleaning carts and scrubbing clubs. And then there was we called them mini tours. It's called the Golden State Tour. So I started playing on that pretty much right away.
All right. So you pay an entry fee to get in. Of course, mm-hmm. if you win or if you're in the top tier, then you make money. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, then you're spending quite a lot of money,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it can be very, very expensive. And then generally what happens changes a little bit over the years, but everyone's ultimate goal is to get on the PGA Tour. And the PGA qualifying, aka qualifying school, is in the fall. So only about, at the time, 25 players would get that, their PGA Tour card. So all the rest of us were scrambling for something to do the rest of the season. So you kind of played from January through September and prepare yourself for this PGA qualifying school. And then, of course, then you got to find something to do. And you know, it's interesting, depending on where you go, you can make a decent living. You know, I can make 6 figures a few years, you know. So when I was single, even though you're spending $30,000-$40,000, it was a nice living. I was playing all over the place. So if you're kind of a adventure type person, you can really, for me, that's how it was. And I really enjoyed every minute of it. Some guys aren't so much like that. So they kind of end up falling off the planet because it's a tough life. I mean, a lot of McDonald's, a lot of fast food, a lot of crappy hotels, you know, staying with multiple people, just trying to cut costs as much as possible. Because it's like you're a businessman as well, too. So,
how did you decide where you would compete and where you'd travel to?
So when I moved to Southern California because of my sister. So a lot of people either seem to venture, a lot of people, it's kind of differed a little bit too, but Florida is a really good spot. There's a lot of winter golf down there. So there's several mini tours. So a lot of people go down there. Arizona's starting to pick up. Southern California had a few things, but it was mostly because my sister was there. And it's kind of interesting how the world works, but I was working at this club and it was a very nice club and very nice membership. And there was 2 brothers who are a few years older than I am that played for the University of Arizona, and one of them won the U.S. Amateur, so they're very good players, and they played on a tour in Asia. So I got befriended them, kind of followed in their footsteps, and then I started playing on the Asian Tour in 1993. And very similar kind of the PGA Tour, you had to actually qualify. There was a huge qualifying in the United States, whittled you down to like 50, I believe, and then we went to a worldwide tour qualifying in Manila, Philippines. There was, I can't remember how many players there were, 400 players for like 60 positions. Luckily, I got through that one, and then I started the tour, and we played about 12 weeks from there. And
would you say that's like similar to we see people trying to pursue professional basketball careers where they end up playing in Europe for a few years or something?
Definitely a minor league system. Exactly. Yeah. You know, the one thing about those guys is they do have guaranteed contracts. You know, I don't know how much money they always make. Some make more than others. Some people are just doing it for the chance. But You know, over there, you're on your own, man. And it's a interesting lifestyle because it's not a team sport at all. You know, I mean, they always say half the people don't care what you how you played when, and the other half hope you play worse. You know, so, so you travel around. I think there was about 30 Americans. So we travel from country to country, and then you befriend other. We had a group, a kind of a coordinator who ran our tour, and we paid him and did the hotels and all that stuff. So that's how I started kind of my worldwide thing, and then, yeah. Kind of from there.
So as you're going through that system, like you said, I mean, it's not a team sport. You're all competing just to be the very best you can be and hopefully to rise to the top. Did you see people in your cohort sort of getting picked off and moving to the PGA Tour and rising up through that system?
Definitely. So what was kind of interesting, and I know we'll probably talk about later, but so when I played in the PGA Championship, I'm 50 years old, so I literally knew Zach Johnson, who's Cedar Rapidian. And I didn't know anybody else there. So I went to the senior PGA Championship.
And Zach, of course, for people who don't follow golf, he is our most famous Iowa golfer. And he's in his mid-40s.
44, I believe. Okay. Yeah. And he won the Masters in 2005, and he won the British Open as well. So I've known Zach for, you know, 20 years, but I didn't know anybody else. But then I went to the senior PGA Tour, or the senior PGA Championship, and I probably knew there was 10 of us at least that played on the Asian Tour together. I also played in South America, so there was some South Americans there. It was really fun to kind of it was kind of like a reunion actually.
Yeah.
So, and kind of going back to where you said there was people that definitely rose to the top in Asia, and then they had successful PGA tours as well. So there was Bob May, who should have beat Tiger Woods in the PGA Championship. He was there, and Steve Flesh has won 3 or 4 times. Todd Hamilton won the British Open. Brant Job won on the PGA Tour. So I got to see a lot of those guys. And, yeah, you see the levels of – they just rise. They just do. Wherever they go, they rise, and they end up having the best chance of you know, getting to the top level.
So every year when you were touring, I mean, every year is a new chance and a new dream. What kept you going?
Probably, I say this over and over again, probably kind of stupidity, the thinking that I was good enough to compete with everybody. And, you know, for me, it's always about whether I'm coaching or myself, just trying to be my best, my best self. And I never felt like I got to my best. You know, I think that overall, I'm big into psychology. I don't think most people do get to their best selves. And I think that if people did, they would be really, really surprised. So I guess for me, it was always just kind of a dream, and I just loved it. I loved it. I loved the competition. I loved everything about it. So I loved golf, and I was making a little bit of money. I was having a great life. So, you know, it wasn't very average or normal, and there are a lot of people thought I was crazy. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I wasn't hurting anybody, and I was happy. So I kept going. So.
That's a hard way to put down roots develop relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you decide that wasn't the life you wanted to lead?
Well, so for some reason, I was traveling a lot in the 90s, and then I loved Iowa City, so I came back to Iowa City. I don't know why, but I was traveling a lot, so I just kind of needed a home base. And then I, of course, met my soon-to-be wife, and who's also a college tennis coach. So we were
She's
compatible.
The head coach at the University of Iowa.
Exactly,
right.
Yep. So she, and then she got her first head coaching job at Stetson University in Florida. So I kept playing for about 4 or 5 or 6 more years, you know, off and on, successful. But when you start having kids and you have, then it became very difficult. And I was starting to get older as well. And just the reality of, like, this is probably, the pressure became just too much to really bear, really.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking to Jeff Schmidt. He is the golf pro at Brown Deer Golf Club in Coralville and recently played at 2 PGA major tournaments. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'm talking with Jeff Schmidt. He is the golf pro at Brown Deer Golf Club in Coralville. He's also still competing as a professional golfer, and he earned his way into 2 major PGA tournaments just recently at the age of 50. He competed in the PGA Championship on the Bethpage Black Course in Farmingdale, New York, and the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship in Rochester, New York. And we thought we'd chat with him about the experience. And so, Jeff, as I mentioned, you're the golf pro at Brown Deer, so you've been focusing mainly on teaching for the last few years. But tell me a little bit about the kind of competition that you still do, how you earned your way into these majors.
Yeah, so I'm a member of the PGA of America, which is a group of comprised of 29,000 professional golfers throughout the country. So basically, we are the people that run the golf courses, teach golf, run golf tournaments, that type of thing. So it's about a three-year process to get through this, to get your PGA, we call it membership. And I do want to kind of reiterate just a little bit. I'm the golf instructor at Round Deer. Yep. And Sean McCarty is also a PGA golf professional. He also is a very good player, played at the University of Iowa. He qualified for the PGA last year at Belrive, too. So it's kind of cool that two pretty good players come out of the same club.
Yeah, that's incredible.
In Little Iowa, you know. So we do kind of get some notoriety from that. We have a couple of good players. But what was the question again?
So tell me how you earned your way into these tournaments.
Okay, yeah. So we have tournaments scheduled for PGA of America. So there's 43 sections throughout the country. We're in the Iowa section. We have what's called Section Championship. The top, depending on how many people play, get to go to our national PGA Professional Golf Pro Championship. So it's basically the top 312 players throughout the country of us. And then luckily enough, the PGA Championship is run by the PGA of America. The PGA of America and the PGA Tour at one time were the same, and they split off, I believe, in the 60s. It's our national championship, so we run it, and they give us 25 spots of PGA of America golf pros. So there was 312 of us trying to qualify for this in Belfair Country Club in South Carolina about 3 weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah. And you made it.
I did make it, yep, first time. So I've been a PGA member since about 2011, so it's about my sixth or seventh try, and unfortunately in my life it usually takes me a few tries to master something, and unfortunately I'm getting kind of old, but it was good. It was really good. I've been close several other times, and this time I just kind of things worked in my way, and maybe I did some things more correctly as well. So
what was your reaction when you realized you'd made it?
Pretty cool and pretty emotional. So I've never played a major before. I've come close several times. The other really only major you can really play in at my level was the U.S. Open, because that's kind of open to everybody, and you had to go through a couple really tough qualifying. So I've been alternate for that a couple times, but I never got into a major tournament. So at 50 to get in a major was a bucket list type item. So because I just don't know how many more years I have left, really, you know, realistically. The game's changed. It's a bigger game. It's for the younger, stronger kids now. So
you have two kids. You have a 13-year-old daughter and 11-year-old mm-hmm. daughter. And you and your wife decided to pull them out of school and take them to the PGA Championship with you. What was that like to take your kids to watch you play in this
tournament? it was to say the least, it was pretty cool. So I got there a couple days early and tried to kind of get acclimated to everything, and then they came in on Tuesday night, so they watched. I practiced on Wednesday, and then the tournament started on Thursday. So we were talking earlier, one of my older daughter is a little bit more the golfer of the family, and she kind of knows everything about golf, so she doesn't play as much as I like. But she knows.
Well, she is 13, so she knows everything about a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
probably,
right? Exactly. So, but she knows the golfers. She really took in the entire environment. I mean, she really loved it. It was really, really fun. So, and then my other daughter, who's not quite the golfer, she was more about dad, watching dad play. And so it was interesting. I didn't really watch them too much during the tournament, but for hearing from what my wife said, you know, I look over at Lucy, who's my older, and she's like, make this putt, make it, you know. And then apparently my other daughter's like, please just let him make this putt, you know. So
that's sweet.
Yeah.
So you've played in a lot of golf tournaments over the years. What makes the PGA Championship different?
So there's four majors on the PGA Tour, the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the British Open. And it's basically, I think it's a marketing thing. They're just huge. They're just, it's our majors. And so that's one respect. Definitely, they challenge you more. The courses are set up differently. They're set up more difficult. There's no doubt about that. And it's kind of our Super Bowls, really. It is. That's all I can say. The hype about them. Everything's hyped up about them. And but as far as, you know, playing, I think the courses generally are set up more difficult.
Golf is such a mental game. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what that's like to sort of plunge into this environment. You're playing with the best golfers in the world. What is that like?
It was more than probably sitting back and thinking about it. What would I do differently? You know, you got to learn and you got to put yourself in situations over and over again. And I'd never been in a situation like that. So I tried to prepare a little bit, and I work as well. So, you know, these guys are playing full time.
Right. And you're a dad. You got a lot going on, right?
I mean, their job is to play golf. And a lot of these kids now are 23. They'd have nothing to do but play golf, you know. So I tried to prepare, but, you know, I would definitely do it differently. It was harder than I could ever imagined, honestly. I think Bethpage Black, if you guys followed it, was an extremely difficult course. I talked to another one of my friends, a PGA member, who's played in six in a row. He's a little younger, but he said this is the most difficult he's played in. So, you know, I guess I just got to prepare a little bit better next time and be prepared. But, you know, that's what these tournaments do. And that's, I think, whether it's Olympics or whatever, they throw things at you that you just never could prepare about.
Right.
You know, it's almost like... And that's what they do, and the best athletes adapt the best, and they come out on top. And really, that's what to me about that's what sports is, adapting to situations, because situations are always changing. And so I would love to do it again, and hopefully maybe next year I will have another chance. But
things did not go great for you.
They did not. No,
but you are a teacher and you are a dad, and so having this experience where you competed, you did the best that you could do under the circumstances, and even though it didn't go well, does that give you a great teaching moment?
It does. You know, I think that the problem with golf is, and whoever in this audience that plays golf, is we rarely play our best. You know, I mean, honestly, even on the PGA Tour, they make like 80% of their money in like 4 weeks. Honestly, you get hot and and I just don't have that opportunity to play 20, 30 tournaments in a row. So you want so bad to play well, and it wasn't my week. Definitely. I mean, again, there was reasons for it, but I could have been totally prepared and still played bad. You know, I mean, there was. It's a great teaching moment, and it's what I can try to relate to kids, is that, you know, it's the bigger picture, and you got to prepare, and what happens happens. So. I was talking to your producer yesterday, and the thing about golf and sports and life in general is luck is a factor. There's no doubt about it. And there were some situations that I don't want to say I had bad luck, but it wasn't in my favor. And like, for instance, that course was not a Jeff Schmidt golf course. You know, that was a Brooks Koepka. It was a big, huge golf course. So immediately you can kind of like eliminate half the players. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it definitely had. A certain person was going to win that tournament. It would have been a freak thing if somebody else would have won. So, but that's part of golf, you know. I mean, and that we all know that, and that's why we enjoy the challenge of it. So
right after that experience, you had to turn around and prepare for the next tournament, which was a senior event. So how is that different, the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship?
So, I just to kind of go back, I qualified for that very similar. There's a senior side of the whole PGA thing, too. So I qualified for this back in the spring.
And when do you start qualifying as a senior?
When you're 50.
Okay, so you're
fall,
a brand new senior.
It was, yeah. You know, so I feel like a kid, and you know, people can't believe I'm 50, which is a big compliment. So
yeah.
And sometimes I feel like you go in there and you're like, man, there's a lot of old people here, you know. But so it was interesting. It was a whole different situation. The course was different, and it's a great golf course. Oak Hills had PGA Championships, U.S. Opens, Ryder Cups. So it's an amazing course. We play it shorter. That's the main thing. We played Bethpage was probably 7,500 yards, wet and cold, and Oak Hill was probably about 68 or 9. So that's 500 or 600 yards you're giving up. The rough wasn't as deep. Those types of things. So they prepare. It's still very, very, very challenging. I think the Bethpage, for me, looking back, over-prepared me. I was probably – my expectations were too high, because I'm like, man, this place is, like, really easy compared to what I just played. And I set my goals probably too – I spent my – set marks too high, because the scores actually were pretty manageable for me if I would have just played, like, decent, you know. Looking back, I don't think I could ever make a cut at Bethpage Black, honestly. I mean, I think I can make a cut somewhere on the PGA Tour, but the PGA Senior – I did not play well, and it was a disappointment. I really felt like I was prepared, and I just let things get away from me, and I had a couple bad holes that just kind of killed me. So
what do you take away from this experience? I mean, you are still keeping the dream alive. Thinking over the last couple of weeks, what have you learned?
I've learned that preparation is key to success. And it gets down to, like I tell my students, it's how bad do you want things, you know? And if I probably didn't prepare high enough. And so, you know, what does that say? If I want it that bad, I have to prepare. I got to make sacrifices in my life, and I chose not to, I guess. So, and it doesn't make me a bad person. I tell the kids all the time, it's like, it's what your goals are, your realistic goals, and then you have to attack those goals to, and you got to be realistic, you know, what do you do? So, you know, even looking, I have a U.S. senior qualifying for the U.S. Open next week. So it's like, man, I got a week, and how bad do I want to work? Do I have to get, you know, I got things in my life, so I'm going to have to get up at 5 in the morning. I'm going to have to practice if I really, really, really want it. So I think that's kind of what it really means. You got to set your goals, and then if however high you chose them, you have to prepare diligently. And that's where watching the guys practice was amazing, how diligent they were. Zach Johnson, who we talked to earlier, I always say about 2000, he and I were about the exact same level, and then his career kind of exploded. Mine kind of went down. But Zach had this like burning desire, like, I'm going to make this. And he's a pretty average guy, I hate to say it. You know, he's a nice athlete, but he just had this will. And my wife noticed it too, like, I'm going to do this. And he did it, you know, and just we played a practice round together. And I mean, it was kind of boring to watch, but it was actually amazing how diligent he was to prepare, and that's what he chose to do, and that's why he's successful.
So in thinking about the future, how are you reframing your goals?
I think that I have to, number one, have to reframe them. That's a great, you know, are my goals too high, number one, and then I have to look at my weaknesses and try to improve those. And then, you know, we always say that we try to work too hard on weaknesses, we have to maximize our strengths as well. So, you know, I definitely learned things about my game. To kind of get off the subject we were talking about, but driving the golf ball is like so important at the high level. These guys hit it so far now, I can't even believe it. I mean, I've been around college golf. I've been coaching for 8 years and seen amazing drivers, but these guys are insane. So I have to improve my driving if I want to expect to compete. I mean, honestly, that's the one part of my game I have to really get better at. So that's going to take some work and some diligence and some, you know, maybe have someone help me with that as well. But yeah, that's kind of the main thing. So
you love being a teacher. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're teaching the mechanics of golf. But you're also, I mean, we've talked about how this is a mental game in so many ways. So when you're teaching, how do you try to convey that part of the game?
Yeah, you know, it's about, I think I've come to the conclusion now that everything is mental, because your body doesn't move unless your brain tells it to, honestly. So as far as teaching, you know, whether, and it doesn't matter whether you're playing the piano or painting or hitting a golf ball, but it's, you have to be mindful at every second. You know, you can't waste time. And I think that's what I try to get my students, is like, you have to have a goal, you have to have a focus, and you have to stick with it. It's so easy, especially in golf, those golfers out there, that we go to the driving range, we plop the balls down, we just start machine gunning balls, you know. And I always tell my people that it should take you an hour to hit 50 shots. You know, you should go through every step just like you're playing on the golf course, and I do a pretty good job of that. Kids don't so much, but that's the mental part. So, you know, we can sit there and we can go visualize things, and there's a million different ways to get better mentally, but just by practicing properly, that really prepares you for what's to come. So you know, as golfers too, we hit a million balls off a perfectly flat surface, off a perfect lie, and golf is rarely like that. So you got to throw some variables into your practice routine as well.
So even though these tournaments did not go well for you, I mean, just learning about your accomplishment at the age of 50 as a 44-year-old woman, that is incredibly inspiring to me. And I'm sure it's really inspiring to a lot of other people. Have you been hearing from people who've been really excited to see you achieve this?
It's been amazing, the support. And, you know, with social media now, it's kind of cool that it's probably the best thing about social media is the people you hear from that you haven't talked. I've lived in a lot of different places, so you don't hear from people for years, and all of a sudden they hear about this and they send such nice things. And like you just said, I mean, I didn't really think of it like that so much, but I kind of do now. You know, the thing is, when you get there, you kind of, honestly, this, my personality is, I was there, do I really belong here? And everyone said, you earn this right to play, you know, so you have to accept that. And it was hard, because I don't like to play bad, you know, I don't want to be last place, and I wasn't, thank God, but it's close. But It has been very inspiring. And I, you know, as a teacher, I felt like I've tried to get people to inspire them. It doesn't matter that you're playing a PGA championship. It's always trying to do the best that you can do. And whether that's trying to break 100 or break 90 or break 80 or 70, it's setting a goal and achieving it. And that's what you should, you know, in life, that's what life's about.
When is your next competition?
So I have this U.S. Open qualifying a week from Friday, actually. And then I have a couple small tournaments. And then I'm not sure what the rest of the summer is going to be like. It's just busy right now. So I could play a lot. But my thing is, too, I like to play well, so I need to prepare myself. I don't like to play. I'd rather play a smaller quantity of tournaments and have a better, higher level than just play all the time. So.
And you've got a few other things on your plate
as
well.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, it's a busy, busy time of the year. So,
well, Jeff, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's going great.
Jeff Schmidt, he's one of the golf pros at Brown Deer Golf Club in Coralville. And he also, at the age of 50, recently earned his way into two major PGA tournaments. He competed in the PGA Championship on the Bethpage Black Course in Farmingdale, New York, and the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship in Rochester, New York. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Emily Woodbury, Caitlin Harrop, and Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We had production assistance today from John Pemble and Stephanie Nobringa. And you can get in touch with us anytime. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You also never need to miss an episode of the show. Please subscribe to our podcast. Just search for Talk of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa.